Remarks of the President, Williston, North Dakota, 29 September 1952. I
can't tell you how much I appreciate that introduction from my friend, Mr. Burdick. He and I, you know, have a common interest. We're both very much interested in the history and the growth of the West. The Congressman has one of the greatest libraries on that subject in this whole United States. I don't think there's but one other that has as many books and as many volumes on the development of the West as has Congressman Burdick. That's the University of Oklahoma. He and I exchange books, and we're always trying to find out who can find the tallest tale to tell about the West. He's had the best of me so far on that, in that order. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the welcome I've had today in North Dakota. It's just been exactly like this from one end of the state to the other. In every city where I stopped today, it seemed to me that everybody for 100 miles around had turned out. And I know that's the case here tonight. On my trip across the state today, I've had a chance to get acquainted with the candidates for office. Some of them Republicans and some of them Democrats.
Hooray!
If I was in North Dakota, of course, having been raised a Democrat, I'd vote the Democratic ticket. But I want to say to you that these two Republicans that are friends of mine here in North Dakota are mighty fine men, and I like them both very much. And I'd hate to have to vote against them. Since I don't have to make a decision.
Came over here.
I told Bill Langer today, if I'd known how the people of North Dakota felt about me, I'd have come out here and filed for governor. Getting down, though, to dead earnestness and brass tacks, it's to your interest in this coming election to return Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman to the White House. Now, I've been in the White House for almost 8 years. It will be the 20th of January, like in about 2 months and a half. And it's been my privilege and my duty to make some of the most earth-shaking decisions that any president of the United States ever had to make. I've never hesitated to make those decisions, and I've tried my best to do them in a manner in which I thought was right and for the welfare of the country. And I'm just as sure as I stand here that Adlai Stevenson will do the job in the same way. He'll make these decisions which the president has to make. He'll make these decisions in a manner that he believes will be for the best interests of the country, and I think they will be for the best interests of the country when he makes them. If you've heard Governor Stevenson speak, you'll know he really has your interests at heart. And he's proved that by his clean, progressive record in the state, great state of Illinois as governor. He's had a lot of experience in the government. He understands the foreign policy of the United States. He understands the domestic policy of the United States. And I'm just as sure as I stand here that he'll make one of the best presidents this country's ever had. And his running mate is just as good a man. I've known them all, both, for years and years. They're fine men, and I hope you'll vote for them. I well remember stopping here 2 years ago on my way back from Grand Coulee. Then I was out making a personal report to the people on what their government was doing. I talked to you then about power developments here and reclamation and the great progress of the West. This was a very prosperous country then, and I was proud of that because Democratic administrations had done so much to make it prosperous. Since 1950, We've carried through a huge defense mobilization program, and we've done that without upsetting our economy or wrecking the living standards of the people. At this point, I want to explain to you that I'm out here in one of my five positions. The president has five different jobs, each one of which is enough for one man to do, but the president, under the Constitution of the United States, has to do all five of them. I'm here tonight as the head of the Democratic Party of the United States. The president is always the head of the party when he's in the White House, and I'm here tonight, as the congressman suspected, to talk politics to you, pure, plain, and simple. I'm not here under any false pretenses. The Democratic Committee is responsible for my being here. They asked me to make this trip and to explain the government as it has been carried on by me as President of the United States, Democratic President of the United States, if you please. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I hope that when I've finished and have told you what the record of the Democratic Party has been in office, and when Stevenson tells you what he hopes to do as President of the United States, you can't help but vote the Democratic tickle. People are as well off or better than they were before we threw this strain on our economy. I'm proud of that, too. It shows you what a great, solid, expanding economy we've built up in America since we took over the mess the Republicans left us in 1933. We've done something else I'm proud of. We've kept this country out of World War III. I've spent my whole time, my whole 7 years as President of the United States in a most sincere effort to keep the peace of the world and to make the world a peaceable place where there never will be another world war. I'm here to tell you that a world war now would be of such tremendously destructive effect that there would be no civilization left after the war was over. I don't want to see another war. I'm doing everything I possibly can to prevent another war from coming, and I know that's what Adlai Stevenson will do. And I'm not saying that the other side wants a war. I don't think General Eisenhower wants a war. He's fought in two world wars, and he knows what it means for men to go to the front and get killed. But when it comes to the point of either freedom or fight, it's been the policy of the American people to fight for freedom, and they always will do that. Now then, there's been a lot of talk about Korea. Korea is being fought to prevent a third world war. The price has been high, but it has saved us from that all-out war. And I would never minimize the cost of Korea. I am very deeply conscious of it, but never let anyone tell you that the Korean episode has been a useless one. Korea is a landmark, a great victory in our fight for peace. For there we've stopped the communists, we've upset their timetable, we've pushed them back, and we surely saved the world from total war. Now these things have been possible in spite of the old guard Republicans in the Congress, and not because of them. Their record in Congress shows you where they stand and what they've done. They haven't helped build prosperity. A lot of them are still voting against our farm programs, against power, against reclamation, against conservation. They've been against every measure that's built up the West. They haven't helped the defense effort. A lot of them have fought against price controls and time after time and rent controls and defense housing. They've tried to get tax relief for the rich and all kinds of special benefits for every special interest. These old guard Republicans haven't helped much in Korea either. Most of them have voted against military aid and economic aid in Korea before the invasion. That's what gave the communists their signal to advance. Then later on, they tried to start an all-out war with China. Of course, they were backing a different general then. When he got here, though, he didn't think so much of him as he did before. That's the party that wants you to let them have national leadership. They want you to change the leadership. But they've done nothing to earn that trust. And if you're minded to forget that, remember the last time they held power, 1932, and remember their record. in the 80th Congress, with which I had so much fun in 1948. I told you all about the 80th Congress, and you believed me, and I told you the truth, and I want you to believe me this time, for I'm telling you the truth right now, and I know more about the world situation and the situation in which this government is faced than any other man in this country, and I'm not bragging when I say that. The record... The record of these old guard Republicans is just as bad as it can be. They're still voting against you. They're trying to hide their record behind a general. Now look out. Look out, as I said a while ago. He's got a sign on his car. It says, "Look ahead, neighbor." Now I've changed that slogan. Look out, neighbor, because they're after you. You better look out. We haven't had much luck with the Republican generals in the past. I can't think of a worse combination than a professional military man fronting for the power lobby, fronting for the real estate lobby, fronting for the railroad lobby, with their fine discriminatory freight rates and all the rest of that crew. The Republicans should win this election, I would be terribly afraid of what would happen to our domestic economy. I would be even more afraid of what would happen to our chances for peace. I've worked for peace above everything else, ever since I've been in this White House, as I said a while ago. And I shall keep on working for peace as long as I live. My career is not going to stop because I'm getting out of office. I'm going to be just as hard worker for the welfare of the American people as I have been for the past 40 years. And I've had every reward a man in politics can possibly have, and I'm grateful for it. And you won't hear me going out trying to tear the country apart. I'm going to continue to try to build it up and make it better and greater than it is now, and I think we're facing the greatest age in the history of the world. Hooray! I wish I was 18 instead of 68. The threat of communist imperialism has made the path to peace extremely difficult. We've made great progress up to now by joining our strength with the strength of the other free nations. But the way is long and hard. It calls for patience. It calls for steady nerves. It calls for keen minds, and it calls for plain, simple honesty, the most valuable thing in the world. Peace will not be won by anyone who puts victory in an election ahead of the safety of the country. It will not be won by bellicose chest thumping on Monday, followed the next day by a promise to cut down the funds needed to defend the country if war should come. I think, my friends, that it has already been made perfectly plain in this campaign which one of the candidates for president best understands the dread issues of war and peace. It has also been made perfectly plain which of them has the courage and the moral fiber to do what is right, even though it be hard, even though it be unpopular, and that man is Adlai Stevenson. Governor Stevenson is the candidate who's talking sense to us, appealing to the best that's in us, challenging all America to rise to greatness. His opponent seeks to win by stirring up the passions of the crowd, dragging us toward the gutter. The choice is clear. Adlai Stevenson is the only candidate we can afford to trust with the future of this country. And I want to say to you that you are the government. The people of this United States are the government of the United States. And when you go to the polls to vote, you're voting for your own welfare and for the welfare of this great nation of ours. You're voting for your pocketbooks, which is the most touchy nerve on a man or a woman. And I want to say to you, you want to examine the record. You want to read what these people say they're for. And then you want to read the record for yourself. Don't take what's said about it. Get the facts. Then sit down and weigh them. And when you go to the polls, you can't do anything else but vote for your best interests, and that's vote the Democratic ticket on November the 4th. Thank you very much.